Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another installment of the...
Good.
Game.
Yes! TKO and my co-hosts...
Dr. Captain.
And Dag.
Just simply.
Yep. Oh my goodness, once again, do I come to you when I want an enemy starship?
Okay. All right, so that was rather peculiar.
Yeah.
Apparently Skype took a shit. Well, this wouldn't be a,
Skype.
This wouldn't be a live show if it weren't for technical difficulties.
Remember
we've got
to wipe.
That going for us.
Make sure you remember to wipe Skype.
Seriously.
Charmin, the ultra-quilted picker-upper. That's Bounty.
What are you doing?
Trying to, like, give out some plugs to people that aren't even sponsoring us?
No.
Dude,
well, I mean, Skype did defecate meticulously all upon us, so...
Well, fair enough,
you know.
But, you know, let's...
just deciding to tell you, hey, Skype, you should
let's
use
let's just go.
Holy Christ, my brain just exploded a little bit.
Oh, Lord. Why don't we just go ahead and start moving on from this? Let's just walk away from that little mess.
Fine.
Wash our hands of that bullshit and move on. So, Dr. Captain, how was your week?
My week's been all right. Got a quick little cameo on the Easy Way Broadcasting Show.
Oh, right on.
As short as that was.
Oh.
It's called Easy Talk Live.
Oh, right. Easy Talk Live. I'm sorry.
My bad,
Easy.
That has been moved to Friday at 8 o'clock now.
Yeah, got to give those plugs.
EasyWayBroadcasting.com.
Well.
And basically just had myself a little brief cameo on there. Interestingly enough, on Valentine's Day, a couple friends of mine actually wound up gifting me a game separately. So right now I have myself a copy of Dead State, which I would love to do a complete review on at some point in time. Not tonight's show, though. And also, I managed to get 7 Days to Die, and I've played that for a little bit. And I've enjoyed it so far, but it's like the Minecraft situation where I have more fun with friends. So
well, most games are more fun when you have someone, you know, playing with you.
Well,
true
the,
enough.
The ones that were designed to be played multiplayer, absolutely.
You know, I'm not talking about anybody's, you know, captain who jumped to Admiral without, you know, letting you know. I'm not saying that.
What do you mean, letting you know? You can see the rank by looking at the fleet roster.
I was waiting for you to catch up and let... Wait, that's a different... All right, moving on.
See, here I am, damn near the end of the game within a week.
You're not near the end of the game. You're still in Chapter 3. There's like...
Chapter 4 now. I entered
four.
The Cardassian missions.
Yeah, they're
yeah.
Still like what?
Like the longest missions
six,
out there.
Six, 4 seasons.
I was referring to the highest level.
I'm talking about, you know, bored, man.
Because that's when you get to, you know, start enjoying endgame content. I could skip the rest of the episodes.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Because there's certain items that you can get only by doing the episodes.
Well, sure, but
like
you get
consoles still... and devices that you can only get there.
Well, so first I'm going to be replaying the Step to the Stars mission and be getting my Mark 12 Solanae stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't need the Aegis set.
No, I forgot. Well, since they added that in there and you can do that level 10, they pretty much officially took any need to craft out of the game.
So here I was crafting my balls off, like my my research and development skills over 1,800.
Good God!
And that ended up costing a lot of energy credits, by the way. Like, a lot.
Oh, I can give you another million if you want.
No, it's cool. I got, like, 3.5.
Oh.
Well, I know. Lucky drop.
No, I listened to him and ended up buying, like, 2 lockbox keys, and that which knocked my funds back down to 2 million. I'm kind of upset now. I was like, and all I got out of it was, like, 20 lobby.
You didn't even get any duty officers?
Well, I got duty officers, and I got a dilithium mining claim. Have you got any of those?
Yes, I have.
Those things are amazing.
I have yet to go dilithium mining, though.
Okay, put it this way. Like, you know how you can only get, like, you can only refine 8,000 dilithium per day?
Mm-hmm.
On a dilithium mining claim, you can earn 5,000 dilithium with 30 seconds, no, with 1 minute of work.
Ooh.
Yeah. My main character has 20 dilithium mining claims.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So would you guys want to go out there and do some farming? Go ahead and pick up some lockbox keys, and you're looking for the dilithium mining claims, and you can easily knock out your 8,000 dilithium for the day in under 30 minutes.
Well, sure, but you also got to consider the cost of the keys. They're like $1.25 a pop.
Unless you spend energy credits on them.
Yeah, that's fair. You can farm your balls off for energy credits and spend like 1.95 million EC on a key.
Well, or you could spend, what?
See, personally, I'm just sitting here laughing right now because I'm not the sucker that actually plays into the whole random, you know, crate opening business that's been going on lately with a lot of games.
Yeah.
Well, no, see, Star Trek Online is a little bit devious with it. Now, there's another store. Now, you have a, it's called the Lobby Crystal Consortium, right? From there, you can buy specialized consoles, equipment, and gear for your ship.
Uh-huh.
Now, the only way to purchase Lobby Crystals, I mean, to get Lobby Crystals, is to open lockboxes.
Right.
A lockbox will have a random amount of Lobby Crystals, in minimum of 10, maximum of 20 per box.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not necessarily just a random, but you're also getting the Lobby Crystals. Which is kind of smart.
Yeah, I guess it does make a little sense, though. You know, just because of my situation, I don't know if I'm necessarily going to just start plugging money into that thing right away.
Well, it's not necessarily. I don't spend real money on lockbox keys. I either spend energy credits or I use dilithium and convert that dilithium into cash out money and then open up keys. Boxes that way.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason why I'd say I give props to Star Trek Online.
Because you can do that.
Exactly. Right now I'm playing, you know, I'm also, me, well, I guess we already went into what I was doing a little bit, huh? I have gotten back into Star Wars. Knights of the Old Walk to My Feet Bleed.
It's not Knights of the Old Republic, it's just the Old Republic.
My bad, the Old Republic that causes my feet to explode because I'm doing so much walking.
Or as Dr. Captain put it so succulently in a previous episode, Tortanic.
I'm glad you remembered that one.
That's going to stick with me until the day I die.
I want to know the breakdown of that, Tortanic?
It failed at launch.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was not a critical commercial success. Which is why they moved it over to the free-to-play scheme. They just didn't have enough subscribers to keep it running.
Huh.
And so they got all this microtransaction shit in the game, and meh. I mean, it's still worthy of subscription if you enjoy the game, because it unlocks, you know, all the stuff that you would be missing out on.
Which is ridiculous. I told you, man. That game, it's like, I play 1 hour and 30 minutes. Out of that 1 hour and 30 minutes of gameplay, I've spent 1 hour walking between points. That's what kills about that game. I got to walk all the way down to the mission. Then I got to, once I turn the mission, I then got to walk all the way back up. And if I want to leave the planet, I got to run through LAX just to get to my starship.
I could say the same complaint about the beginning of Star Trek.
Huh? Okay. Elaborate.
Because you don't have any real transport points, so you got to just tug your ass all the way from sector to sector.
Whoa, what is different, though? In Star Trek...
How is it different?
Because in Star Trek, you can be like, plot a course, ship, go. The ship will go, and then while your ship is going, you could be doing duty officers, you could be, you know, checking up on your reputation system, checking up on your starbase, your...
Actually, it has an auto-run button. You can point yourself in the general direction of where you want to end up. Hit auto-run.
Hold on, I see the point he's actually going with this.
Star Wars is a maze. It's a freaking constant maze, and while you're running, people are attacking you.
Pretty much,
so
and
no,
that's
you
kind
can't
of
do that. You have to.
Well, in Star Trek Online, actually, it's just straight up on your ship, and as he pointed out earlier, you just, you know, set a course to whatever planet or
and
whatever.
You can
run through a group of mobs and not die.
Well,
you
assuming
you
you're high enough, assuming you're high enough level.
But guess what? It still does. Cancels your sprint.
Oh no! For like what, 8 seconds?
Are you kidding me? I ran through this one area, and I'm just running. And running. And I look back and I'm like, this bastard is still chasing me? This dude chased me damn near a quarter of a mile before he decided to give up. I was like, are you serious?
Yeah, the elite guys will chase you a little bit further, so be sure that you stock up on, like, heals or whatever.
Oh, I was high enough level to just say whatever, but I'm running. Also, laser in the back of my head. But he's like, ping, no.
That is one of the reasons I enjoy playing a tank or a healer class, is I can run through whatever the fuck I want to and not have to stop.
Pretty
just
much.
Keep myself alive, put on my shields, heal myself, and just go.
Hey, man, don't forget the rogues. I can just stealth through all that stuff as well.
Yeah, stealth takes so much longer because it typically slows down your move speed.
God! Only by, what, a quarter?
Like 50%.
I've never really noticed it that badly.
Dude, are we playing the same game?
Yeah, I'm playing the same game.
Sprinting, I still feel like it's taking 150 millennia to get somewhere.
I suppose you are sort of spoiled by the concept of starships.
No, just a transporter and a thing called subspace communication. Hey, everyone in this game holds this little circular thingy that puts a holographic version of you. So when I complete a mission, why can't I just say, hey, what's up? It's done. put my stuff in my ship.
Fair enough.
Why do I got to run all the way back to you?
Because this is Star Wars, where the technology wasn't that great.
Yeah, we never heard of a telephone. We've got fucking hover cars because we went that direction instead of cellular phones.
But they have holophones.
They're not that great.
They have holo recordings.
Dude.
And holo projectors, I guess, if you've got the thing in your ship, which you can go to and talk to whatever dude.
My master was barking orders to me from a little donut.
Oh, yeah, they can call you.
You can't call
them. I
call
him. Okay, yes, it's true.
I think it's a joke.
I know, you're trolling the hell out of me right now.
I don't know, I think a Jedi's playing a mind trick on you right now, to be honest with you.
No, that Jedi, he's a freaking Sith.
Those were the droids you were looking for. How does that make you feel?
Sad in my chest.
You're fired.
Sad in my chest.
So my week has been pretty uneventful. Work, eat, sleep, Star Trek Online, work, eat, sleep, just about in that order.
So, all right.
Oh, in that case, now there's two of us now, two down. Two of us now have completed the monthly event that's going on for the Star Trek 4th anniversary, Dyson Solanae Science Destroyer. And tell the world what are your thoughts on this so far. Stock, even.
Yeah, stock, it's okay. It's merely okay stock. Like, you have to spend a lot of time to really fit it up correctly, and if you're going to spend that amount of time, there's kind of no point to it. Just save up and get yourself an Aatrox.
A what?
The fleet science carrier.
Oh, no.
Talk to our fleet leader.
It's... Okay, carriers...
His advice was get the Aatrox because he saw some dude do like 12,500 DPS in an Aatrox. He doesn't know how it was equipped, but I'm interested in seeing like how that ship works.
For a science officer?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking more PvP because there's two things you could put on your ship that makes carriers obsolete.
Well, I'm not sure if the Aatrox is a carrier. I only know it as the Aatrox. I forget what type it is. I think it might be.
I think it's the chitin carrier, the bluish-gray stretched-out thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's a carrier, which means it has two weapon slots forward, two or three forward, and, like, two or three aft. It doesn't have a full weapon complement, and most of its damage comes from the fighters. And
sure.
If you have beam fire at will, or you have the point defense phasers, you will destroy every fighter it's launched.
Plus,
like
You have your gravity well and, your duty officers. I've got a duty officer that'll make my gravity well hit up to 5 times. Like, it'll keep starting a new gravity well.
What duty officer is... Okay.
It's a space officer. He's one of the purple 20% guys.
How did you get a purple 20% already?
I've got, like, 6 or 7 of them.
How?
Those master keys that I was getting.
Oh, you... Okay.
Yeah. So I got some pretty badass duty officers. So I got this guy in my ship, and I actually saw the magnificence, because it's actually rare for it to give you 2 gravity wells. What happens is you blast your gravity well. Once that finishes, the guy gives you a 25% chance to blast another one. When that finishes, you got a 20% chance to blast another one. So on and so forth.
So you can do a cascade reaction of gravity wells.
Exactly.
Holy crap, biscuits.
So you dump the shit out of these gravity wells. You're targeting shield subsystems with your beam arrays. You're dropping out your photon torpedoes with, like, a torpedo spread 3 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
are you rocking Tetrons?
Not yet.
Oh.
Not yet.
You gonna go Tetron or anti-proton?
I'm not sure yet. Like, more research is necessary. I'm thinking I might go anti-proton, but I'm not 100% on it.
Okay.
So you're dumping this massive DPS out just with all of that crap happening all at once. Then, of course, you've got your tachyon beams, which destroys the shit out of their shields. You've got your tractor beams, which means they can't turn away from you. You fire off, what console was that I had, the one where it fires
a
whole
bunch of... charges or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Plus you've got
That thing is brutal.
Plus you've got the photonic fleet, so you've got like three or four extra holographic ships that do more damage.
Which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Plus you got fucking scorpion fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Plus you got turrets. So I mean, it's just like, okay, if you gear it up right, you rock your weapons at 100%. If you gear it up right, you got massive exotic damage just from cascading gravity wells and that sort of stuff.
Huh.
Plus all this extra damage that you're throwing out. Like, the Dyson is not bad. It's not big enough. It doesn't have enough weapon banks to really make it pop.
It has a full complement of weapon banks.
It needs more. It needs more.
It has four forward weapons and four aft weapons.
It requires more DACA.
It's got three forward weapons unless you're in tactical mode when the cannons unlock.
Yeah, which then makes it four.
But if you rock it in the science mode, you get your gravity well.
Yeah.
So you have to stay in science mode, launch your gravity well, switch over to tack, hit the rapid-fire cannons and your torpedo spread.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to swap back over to science mode before the gravity well ends so you can get your cascading gravity wells, because you can't activate gravity well in tack mode.
Yeah.
So it's a freaking dance, but it's beautiful when it works.
Yeah, it's like that. That's the reason why I like the Science Destroyer so much, because literally you can switch from tactical mode, which levels up all your tactical abilities, or you go to science mode and level all your science things. So it's not like you're stuck. And plus, if you have the consoles, when the upcoming crash store version of the ship, that ship will be invincible for up to a minute or longer. That ship will be almost invulnerable. Like, you could tank with a freaking science ship, people. Tank. With the metaphysic shields, photonic shielding, reverse shield. Did you use a reverse shield
already?
Mm-hmm. You see how you're just become like, go ahead.
So yeah, hit me. Hit me for like 9 seconds, please. It'll feel good.
I flew into the middle of like several Borg cubes. I'm just like standing there going, Jane, you were scared of Janeway?
No.
You were scared of the Sisko? No. You will fear the me.
Right, right.
Yes.
We've been harping on Star Trek for a little while. Maybe it's time for a change of pace.
Yeah, I think it's time for a little bit of some news right now. What's going on, Deg?
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
There is some interesting stuff, not so interesting stuff, and sort of mess stuff.
Meh?
And I didn't put it in any particular order, so y'all have fun.
Oh, that's not right.
Deep Silver has announced that Sacred 3, with a pre-rendered video trailer at their website, sacred-world.com, it's a pretty video for what will likely be another hack-and-slash title in the series. Quoted from their website, they say, the paramount development goal for Sacred 3 has been to create a seamless online and offline co-op experience, said Remy Van... Wow, how do you pronounce his name? Remy Van Leeuwen, I guess? The brand manager of Deep Silver. It's a German company. Don't mind me. I'm going to mess up names. by creating a game built around the central concept of co-op gameplay, we're expanding the series to new audiences without compromising the rich lore and fantasy of the Sacred universe. As a reminder for people who still play Diablo 3, the auction houses are shutting down March 18th.
Are they really?
Uh-huh. And the world rejoiced because real currency auction houses were a bad idea to begin with, as Blizzard eventually admitted.
So I'm actually curious, does this mean we'll no longer have to play Diablo 3, it'll have to be online 24/7?
Well, what it means is that you're not going to be able to buy stuff through auction houses.
Well, yeah, but if I recall correctly, wasn't the only reason that was even implemented was because of the auction house?
That I'm not sure. I'm not sure about the always online DRM stuff that they had to have with it.
Yeah, I suppose a little further research is required for something like that, but hopefully that...
Well, Vespin gas.
Yeah, there you go. Hopefully, though, be as cynical as you want, but I think that could be a next step, because you know what? That was a big problem with Diablo 3.
That's fair.
I heard there was
on top of, like, Error 17.
Yeah, let's not get into that one.
Wait. I haven't played Diablo 3 because I heard it sucked. What the heck is Error 17?
Well, it's still news time. We'll talk about it
later. Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
That's news to me.
Bethesda released a trailer for Wolfenstein: The New Order. You owe it to yourself to head over to the YouTube and look up Wolfenstein Boom Boom trailer.
Wait, is that the real name?
Yeah, well, that's the name of the trailer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I could not take that game seriously. It was Wolfenstein Boom Boom.
No, name of the game is Wolfenstein: The New Order. I read that like 4 seconds ago. You're just not paying attention.
I don't have enough money.
Well, fail.
Too expensive.
rub some matchsticks together or something and make something happen, man. Chop, chop.
I'd rather call it the appropriate title and call it Wolfenstein the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
What? Wow. Fist bumps all around.
Oh, that
hurt.
I enjoyed that entirely too much. A little concept spoiler. The game is alternate future history-ish. It's 1960. The Nazis won World War II. You are still BJ Blazkowicz, resistance fighter / Nazi killer extraordinaire. This will be released May 20th and is pretty highly anticipated. It looks like it's going to be Inglourious Basterds made into a game, and I mean that in the best possible way.
Huh.
I had to throw up jazz hands, even though nobody saw it. Like, best possible way. Like, Inglourious Basterds was amazing. Would I play a game set in that universe? Sure. Would I play Wolfenstein now that it kind of has the Inglourious Bastard feel to it? Yeah, absolutely. I was interested in Wolfenstein anyway.
Yeah. I used to play that game with my dad back in the day. Good times.
Oh, good old DOS.
I know.
A Game Developers Conference State of the Industry survey posted at gdconf.com, that's hard to say, shows that developers are targeting Windows and Mac OS X PCs as their number one choice for game development at a whopping 52.04% of the market, which is a bigger share than, you know, the Xbox One and the PS4 combined. So...
Huh.
That's kind of neat. I suppose that should answer the question about whether or not PC gaming is dead this cycle. It's pretty much the same answer as it's always been. PC gaming is not dead. It could be argued that PC gaming may be more expensive because you sometimes have to upgrade your computer to get the best graphics and gameplay from a game. But it's the same argument on both sides. You can upgrade a PC instead of just buying a whole new one.
And not to mention the mod possibilities for your PC versions of certain games.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
There is no modding on PlayStation or Xbox. You're just stuck with the crap they give you.
Right, exactly. So that's good. You get, like, extra levels, extra weapons, whatever, for your Fallout experience or your Skyrim or your whatever non-Bethesda titles with mods.
Not to mention modding, you know, Rome Total War or Empire to have zombies coming at you or something, you know?
Long live
that sounds amazing, and I want that now. I need to buy that game someday.
Yes, Rome. Total Zombie
Rome or
War.
Rome 2?
No, Rome 2.
Well, Rome 2? Okay.
Rome 2 engine. It's all bloody and it's all realistic and the zombies will come at you and you'll scream and like little girls. Yeah.
I need to get that.
I'm
I
trying
do.
To think of like zombie centurions now.
You guys need
that sounds kind of scary.
Zombie pikemen?
No, man.
Mod that. No. The scariest thing.
Oh,
possible.
Shit. Zombie Spartans.
No.
Oh.
No. Zombie German berserkers.
Oh.
Zombie German Landesknechts.
Zombie... Scottish
Wolfhounds?
Yes.
Moving on.
Okay.
And to think we were talking just last week about how zombies were being a little overused.
What was
he
talking about? I got rights. I beat the fifth.
I drank until I blacked out, so I don't know anything.
What?
The FTL Faster Than Light website has details about FTL Advanced Edition, the upcoming free expansion pack for the indie space strategy game. Player ships are still going to be limited to 8 systems, but they have outlined that some of the new options include clones, hacking, mind control, and backup batteries. They've also outlined plans for visual improvements and a new hard mode for the already difficult game. From their site, visual improvements, as we've mentioned before, along with the new content, will also be putting in a host of minor tweaks and improvements to the game. One example would be the new and improved reward boxes, making event outcomes more clear. Hard mode. For our more masochistic fans, we've also added an additional hard difficulty into the game. More challenging enemy generation, lower scrap rewards, and other small tweaks should help keep the game interesting for anyone who might be bored of normal. Personally, this game is hard enough on normal.
Like, I've yet to beat it.
Seriously, guys. You guys, seriously?
I haven't even got to play it yet.
It's hard.
It's hard. Like, I've still yet to even beat it. I can get to the final area, but
what
that's about it.
Why is it so difficult? And what tips would you have for our listeners?
You know, to be honest with you, I think part of the most difficult thing about Faster Than Light is mostly just it's random.
Yeah. The random drops, like you don't always get very good weapons. Each sector has something new in store for you as far as like enemy types, damage types, what kinds of stuff the enemies are going to be throwing at you. You have to come up from a procedurally generated map and enemy structure. Mm-hmm. You have to come up with a mixture of the best defense and the best offense, and if you don't do it exactly right on normal, you're screwed.
So is it multiplayer? Can friends team up to come up with strategies?
Negative.
No.
Huh.
It is a single-player, real-time, /pause-based strategy. You can pause and think about what you're going to do before you actually do it. That's handy.
Which is necessary, too, since you have to micromanage your crew.
You have to micromanage everything. You got to tell your crew to go from the engine room, to go put the fire out in the med bay, et cetera, et cetera.
What's the view? How does it look like?
It's isometric. It's an independent, like, two-dimensional. You're looking at basically the top of your ship, and your rooms are all sectioned out in this little map.
Oh, so top-down, like Zelda.
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda view.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
That isometric, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, I call it Legend of Zelda or Diablo view. Yeah, that's what I call it.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's close to that. The graphics aren't great, but they weren't meant to be. It's more of like an 8-bit title. It's a throwback space strategy game.
So Minecraft graphics.
No, not really.
Two-dimensional.
Two-dimensional Minecraft, gotcha.
Well,
really. I mean,
Legend of Zelda SNES?
It's like T right here is trying to get me into my rage mode already.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
So
I'm not trying to make conflict on our show.
There's that. Let's have more of that. The Irrational Games website has a message from Ken Levine stating that he is winding down operations at Irrational Games. Yes.
That's an irrational decision.
Irrational is closing.
Yeah.
You're not, BioShock fans. Irrational's lead and about 15 other former staff will be starting a smaller, more entrepreneurial effort with Take-Two Interactive to make narrative-driven games for the core gamer that are highly replayable. Which is rare, because you don't really see too many narrative-based, narrative-driven games with replayability.
I just don't really see that many replayability games out there at all lately, to be honest with you.
That's fair. Indie titles are really doing it right.
No, wait, are we talking normal games?
Well, yeah, like normal games. Actually, go ahead and use BioShock as a good example. Like, the first one, there's not really all that too much replayability in it. There's some, but not all that much. Because mostly what it comes down to is, are you going to do the good path or the bad path?
Right. Right, it kind of came down with Mass Effect syndrome.
Pretty much, and that's kind of bothersome a little bit.
Mass Effect, though, but true, there's a Paragon or,
You had three choices at the end. Which flavor candy do you want, red, blue, or green?
No, that's at the very end, though, but every little decision...
That's all it boiled down to.
But, no, every little decision, though, you made affect how you got there. Like, did you kill this guy, so now he can't come and help you in Mass Effect 3, or did you, piss this guy off so he's not going to offer you the certain item here. It's like, I love Mass Effect 3 for the fact that I got to play it like 20 or 30 times.
Well, sure.
To figure out every possible path.
Well, sure. Go ahead and enjoy the middle of it.
That's neat, but you know how it ends.
Exactly.
You've got three choices. Nothing you do from Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 2, or even throughout Mass Effect 3 has any sort of impact on how the game ends.
But that's not really fair because,
it goes against what they advertised the game to be and do in the first place, which is why it rubs you wrong, that every choice was supposed to matter.
It does.
It didn't.
It does.
You have three choices at the end, red, blue, or green.
Yeah, but you still have to, what you do decides on how easy or difficult it is to get to said choice.
There really isn't all that much of a difficulty to it all, though.
No. There's not.
All it is just, okay, you're at the final point, and I got to shoot through all these guys,
I'm
at the multiple choice area.
I want to say is all hail Marauder Shields, who tried to prevent us from seeing the shittiest ending in video game history. Thank you, Marauder Shields. Valve has posted some details about VAC, or the Valve Anti-Cheat Software, in response to several Reddit posts claiming they're evil because they obscure what the code does. What it boils down to is that VAC detects and bans kernel-level cheats, the type which you typically have to pay for because they're expensive to create, by detecting and banning users whose cheats phone home with the cheat DRM. Kernel-level cheats are expensive to create and expensive to detect. Reddit's public outcry has been decried by Valve as hacker social engineering, so people can sell more cheat software. Yeah, social engineering is a cheaper war to fight than the programming arms race, but I personally wish cheating in online games would just stop. Given what VAC does and how it does it, people are concerned that Valve is going NSA and tracking everyone's shit. Here's their posted Q&A. Number one, do we send your browsing history to Valve? No. Number two, do we care what porn sites you visit? Oh dear God, no, my brain just melted. Number three, is Valve using its market success to go evil? I don't think so, but you have to make the call if we are trustworthy.
That's not
completely
correct.
We try really hard to earn and keep your trust. And that was really all their... Yeah, Darkseid does have cookies. Was really all their post said about it, though. It's like, we're trying not to break your trust. We're trying to keep assholes out of the game so you can continue enjoying it. So please continue enjoying it. If you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, pretty much.
Gaming becoming America?
I was under the impression it was America.
Did you not just hear the...
I know! That's just, right now, what you just told me reminded me of what the government would tell me when I asked them, why are they tapping my phones, and they throw, you know, anti-terrorism in my face.
I suppose that's fair, but it's really only working on
cyber-terrorism?
Cheat detection.
Thus, cyber-terrorism. So cheating is a form of cyber-terrorism.
Oh, come on. No, no. I'm shutting this down.
That's a big
stretch. I am
stretch.
Shutting this down before it goes any further.
I agree. That's a big stretch.
I was just... Okay.
No.
You're just talking out of your ass.
Hang your
head.
They sounded exactly like the NSA.
Hang your head in shame and sit in your shame corner.
I will not hang. I'm bringing...
One more piece of news for you unenlightened gibbering masses. Starbound released a patch which made the game unplayable.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Well, they've hot-fixed the bad patch, but people have been losing access to their ships because the patch that was supposed to fix beds and seats and such...
Huh?
...removed unattainable things like your starship locker and fuel hatch. Ah, the woes of early access. I'd feel sorry for people about this, but they bought into early access / beta test, and that kind of stuff happens.
Well, funny you should bring
back
that
to
up.
The studio.
Funny you should bring up early access.
I did that for you.
Yes, you did. Unfortunately,
well,
I don't know, though. Do we need to take a commercial break real quick before I get into it?
Yeah, that would probably be...
That would probably be a good idea. So we'll go ahead and take a quick little commercial break, and then we're going to get back into the interesting world of early access.
Sure.
Beta test.
Holy crap, which one is it? I keep... there it is. Okay.
Should we call it beta test or beta fail?
And here we go.
Hi, I'm Charles D. Watkins of HavanaWatches.com. Our watches are the highest quality for a great price. HavanaWatches.com offers a range of models, including chronographs, mechanical, silicone plastic, and in tungsten steel. HavanaWatches.com provides stylish features. Our top-to-bottom one-year warranty is one of the best in the industry. All of our models come to you in custom-designed wooden gift boxes. We have both Swiss and international design models. HavanaWatches.com. Fine watches exclusively for you.
That's me too, man. Go ahead and tell them why.
And, well, now we're back in the middle of your statement.
What?
Yeah.
He was just telling me what made him upset to get me prepared. I'm like,
I don't mind if you guys talk during the commercials, but you got to be ready to be, you know, ready instead of mid-statement.
To be honest, I don't really know if it's so much of an issue that ends up upsetting me as much as it does T here. And thankfully, Dag managed to kind of lead us into this. So, for this week, I feel like what we can do, actually, is to talk about early access titles, or just early access games in general.
We have had this conversation before.
Oh, yes, indeed. We have had this conversation before. And, you know... Oh, God, I can't even recall exactly how much we've gotten into it. Dag, I recall you bringing up your thoughts here and there.
Yeah, I personally don't believe in early access. I don't think that you should have to pay a company to do a job for them, which is beta testing their game.
Well, fair enough, but, yes, and I can agree with that on a certain level. But at the same time, I think that early access is actually a great way to help the game, or just the game movement as a whole. Because, well, hear me out, guys. Hear me out. I already see you guys.
I'm listening.
The battle lines are being drawn.
The battle lines are being drawn.
We're setting up the chess pieces right now.
Yeah, here we go. Knight to e7.
Wait, what? Did you just kaplaw us?
Yes, because we're about to have a glorious battle.
God damn you, ridge-headed Klingon. What's wrong with you?
Nothing. So, one of the things that kind of just makes me a little happy about early access is that, well... I'm a weird person that actually kind of enjoys the frontier of gaming, if you will. Like, I kind of, I imagine, like, my co-hosts here kind of understand what I mean by saying the frontier. But for the audience's sake, you know, what I mean by that is just basically being there from the beginning and even possibly helping to shape the game into being something a little more as it was, which I somewhat had the pleasure of experiencing with Minecraft. I participated in the alpha, probably even contributed a few things here and there to help maybe make the game a little better. Who knows if they actually took the advice, but at least I felt like I was actually doing something to help out. And, you know, it's just one of those things that I personally kind of enjoy. Now, man, I'm just totally having a blank right now. But, yeah, it's just one of the things I wind up enjoying, and I feel it actually does help out a lot, especially inside of the indie gaming market, which essentially doesn't really have as great of an access to funding or anything like that as easily as, say, a AAA title would.
Really?
Yes, really, actually.
What about Kickstarter?
That's not a guarantee.
Yes, it is a hit or miss.
I suppose it's a hit or miss. If you're making a game that people are foaming at the mouth to get, like, I don't know, Broken Age from Double Fine, you can score millions off of Kickstarter, and as an independent developer, I'd imagine that's pretty much.
Yeah.
While at the same time, yeah, that's a valid point on early access, but I'm still not buying it.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
So why is that exactly? Or actually, yeah. Let's go ahead and...
I will say yes. I'm all for betas. The company's putting out betas saying beta test this. But when the company is saying, hey, beta test this and give us money while you're beta testing it, I agree 135% with Degatus. You
right.
do not... Wait, I'm doing your job and you want me to pay you for me to do your job.
That's my exact argument.
I cannot... It's like, okay, to me it's like the Big Mac.
Yeah.
I can't buy a Big Mac no more. You know why? Because one day I looked at the menu and I said, Big Mac. I looked at the Big Mac and I looked at the double cheeseburger. And I went, they have the same amount of meat. Why would I pay two times as much for a Big Mac when I get the same amount of meat for buying a double cheeseburger?
Because the Big Mac has an extra slice of bread and you're supposed to feel special.
And sprinklings of lettuce.
And
Thousand Island dressing.
Thousand Island, yeah.
Island. Well, you know, I'll say, give me a double cheeseburger with Thousand Island dressing, son.
I thought he was going to say, sir.
Oh, hells no. They don't get that kind of respect. Anyways.
Oh, you can say sir in a number of different ways. You can be rather disrespectful, sir.
I'm ex-Navy.
I see what
that.
I did there?
I know what you did there. But no, I mean, Jason, doctor or captain or Nigella or...
Oh, man, this guy can't even come up with a name for me
or
right
the
now.
Raccoon Commander.
Oh, wow, okay.
No, there is no excuse for people to allow companies... to trick them into giving them money to do their job.
Well, yeah, and...
Allow me to roll old school upon the back of,
Fred,
of the
please,
argument that
school,
I already would have made.
Old school,
sure.
Please, Fred Flintstone that.
Do you remember back in the day when beta tester used to be a position at game development companies?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
I've tried
I
applying
do.
A couple times.
I've actually applied for some of those, but they don't exist no more because they get idiots to pay them to do the job.
Well, here's how early access came to be and why I dislike it so. Originally, beta testing a game was a shitty job that they paid you to do because it sucked. The job sucked. What you did was you played through the same level or the same sequence or the same stuff over and over and over again. You had to fill out freaking bug/TPS reports and submit them, and you had a quota. If you didn't hit your quota, you were written up. If you did not submit enough bugs, you were done.
Wait, what if they didn't have enough bugs? What if they were just good programmers?
Then the beta test was closed, and you were out of a job. This sucks, but it was good at the same time, because they paid people to do a horrible job. It then came around to, like, MMOs kind of started the whole, we're going to create this open beta policy. Like, it wasn't Ultima Online, but, like, EverQuest, well, no, UO hadn't had a beta as well. I think they were closed, but EverQuest,
okay.
Asheron's Call, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
War
like, the pioneers of the field, mind you, were doing open beta tests to handle content quality, server load,
balance
testing,
issues.
Balance issues, exactly. And it was great, because a lot of people that wouldn't have had the opportunity to see the game early now had this opportunity to see it while still submitting bug reports, playing through the game,
and
helping the company out.
And, of course, the whole free-to-play word-of-mouth advertising. This game is going to be awesome, telling all your friends, and just when the game comes out, it's going to be the bomb.
Exactly. But you would also get to the point where you would just burn out on a broken, buggy, unfinished game that, thankfully, you didn't have to pay for until it was ready to go.
True.
Problem being is the developers lawyered up, I guess, and just started extracting value out of the beta process by charging people for early access.
Command & Conquer Online?
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm not doing this horrible job that you used to pay people to do and pay you at the same time. That's
not happening.
Not happening.
Well,
I'm not
buying into it. I got a signed order from Jesus, and even if I got that order, I would have to think about it.
Well, I don't care if you're EA or freaking Notch. I'm not doing it.
Well, you know, that's where I kind of I have to agree with you halfway on that. I will fully and back up every claim right now that's being said when it comes down to a AAA developer that has the money to pull something like this off. However, I kind of feel there needs to be a little bit more leniency towards the independent gaming market because, again, it's more of an issue of they just can't necessarily get the funding to actually pay people to do beta. And that's why they kind of they create what they have so far and release it at a fairly decent price, might I add. It's not like you're getting a full retail, you know, $50, you know, incomplete game. You're getting like a, what, $20, $10 game sometimes.
You do understand that people, Command & Conquer, which was going to be the free-to-play version of the game that they're going to be coming out with, was in beta mode.
Sure.
People were paying it. I mean, they even gave this whole statement when the game got canceled that they're going to be refunding everyone's money, but it's like, seriously, why would you be paying to have access to a game that in the beta form, beta means what? You're there to test the game. See how it functions. See how it works.
Sure.
So if you're beta testing a game, you should have 100% access to everything that game has to offer so you can give accurate information on said game.
Right.
So, thank you. Yeah. So you're going to charge people to do that.
We're beating a dead horse. Like, we're rehashing the same point over and over.
No, we're not beating the dead horse. That horse, we beat it. It died. It then got brought back. Search for Spock status. And we killed it again.
Are we beating the zombie horse now?
No, it got brought back to life. You know, the
zombie Spock horse.
Yes, it got brought back to life. We killed it.
It got resurrected. We're beating the Jesus
then
horse?
Then we got caught in a time loop, and we've been killing the horse over and over again.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, no. There should be no circumstances a beta charging you to play it.
Well,
I accept and agree.
Sure.
I rest my case.
Well, sure, but let me actually go ahead and take the time to address or to focus our attention on a game that probably could have actually been a lot more successful if it became an early access title.
Okay.
Who here actually has heard of Gettysburg Armored Warfare?
I have not.
How about you, T? Have you heard of this game?
Was that when a Confederate soldier puts on a barrel and goes into battle?
You know, that's not too far from the truth, actually. I'll go ahead and give like a very quick summary on what the game is. I've yet to actually play it myself, but what the game is, it's just basically the what-if scenario if the Civil War continued on, you know, working in a little steampunk here and there, kind of sci-fi action. And it's supposed to be a strategy game that implemented the option where you could actually take control of a unit. Like, say I had, or in Command & Conquer terms, let's say I had a platoon of shock troopers, right?
Okay.
I could in Gettysburg, I could take control of one of those shock troopers and actually, like, you know, turn it into a third-person shooter right then and there.
You know they have a game like that called The Rise and Fall?
Do they?
Yeah, it's just what you said. You have a hero. It's like, you know, ancient, it's like, you know, it can be ancient Egypt, ancient Rome, ancient Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And they each have a hero, like Julius Caesar, Cleopatra, or Alexander.
Interesting.
And,
cool.
Yeah, you make the hero, and it's normal, not first-person shooter, normal real-time strategy view. Once you get a certain bar, you can then jump into Alexander and just go up there and start attacking everything in third-person.
But can you pick one of Alexander's random soldiers and handle that guy specifically?
No, you cannot.
Yeah,
that sounds like a really cool concept.
Yeah,
that's what
Gettysburg introduced. Now one of the unfortunate things that happened with Gettysburg is that Gettysburg was actually made by one dude, I don't know if you really want to call that unfortunate. I mean, that's a great accomplishment that this person managed to just create this all on his own.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and here is the actual unfortunate part, the game's pretty damn buggy. Like,
of course, it's a one guy
development
team.
Close to unplayable buggy. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that easy access was, or this person never actually took the time to really go with an early access.
Easy, sit right now in front of his computer, chuckling.
See, we're hanging out with EasyWayBroadcasting.com, and this guy is really confusing the first two letters of really what he needs to say here.
I know, I'm just having some of the worst time just kind of keeping my mind on
that. Is your brain having a couple of inoperable bugs?
Possibly. I believe I need a patch right now. God, is there any chance we can do that anytime soon?
Please install Motivation Module 2.0. And can you address this eyelashes falling into the eyes thing? Thanks.
Thank you. More or less of this whole love thing being completely bound to hormones, not cool.
So, back to the point. I feel that early access actually could have helped this game an awful lot if it was actually properly introduced as a beta, as opposed to a actual release title. And the only reason I feel this actually wound up happening is it could in fact be because of the publisher that he decided to go with, this Radioactive Studios. That's the developer, mind you. The publisher that he went with was Paradox, if I recall correctly.
Ooh.
Deg here knows about Paradox, apparently.
I do not, so.
Would you like to fill in TKO on Paradox?
Go ahead. This is your baby.
I can only give I can't do it too much justice, but Paradox...
injustice?
Yes. Paradox has been kind of known to be... I'll just give the quick brief summary.
They're a little rush happy.
Yes, they very much are.
Oh,
and that's
EA,
what I...
Gotcha.
No, worse, actually.
That's not possible.
It is.
EA may be the destroyer of games... But they hire a full staff to complete the game on time.
The destruction of the game.
Yeah, well, yes.
Okay.
Paradox, on the other hand, I think the only guys they really do anything of the sort with would be Volition, who does Saints Row.
Mm-hmm.
Part 3. Ugh.
Yeah.
Part 4.
But yeah, I believe that's part of the issue right there is that this game just had to follow up that, you know, schedule of being released on time and stuff
right.
like that. And that right there just kind of killed the game because it was an unfinished product.
Well, sure.
I feel bad for this guy, in all honesty.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I really, really strongly feel that early access could have helped save that game and possibly even made it to be playable.
If he's a one-man army, how could early access have helped at all? Because he's still a one-man army.
Okay.
Well,
like,
with the early access and all the people buying into it to start, he can hire more people to help him finish it.
Okay.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's a completely valid point. I think both arguments are rational. Both sides have a really valid point, and so we're just going to have to agree to disagree. If I paid $5 or $10 for it, and it still failed, I'd be livid.
And yeah, the only way I would support that is if there's a clause in that contract, meaning if this game bombs, you'll be reimbursed.
That doesn't sound that bad, actually. Like
Command and Conquer,
bit of a neutral ground.
Right.
Because Command & Conquer refunded everybody their money who bought into the... Yeah, it got the beta. Yeah, it got past... Yeah, it got the beta. They're like, we're sorry, the game's being canceled, but we're refunding anyone who spent money on the beta. They got their money back. Now, if that's a clause written in their early access, whereas if this game fails, you get your reimbursement, then okay. Other than that, no.
I will pin another tail on this donkey and say that early access should never, ever, 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 fucking ever have real cash stores. Ever.
Yeah, we're looking your way, Warzy.
No, Command & Conquer, because it did the same thing, too. Hits the whole, we're going to refund you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You should never implement something like that early access. Otherwise, you're a money-grubbing whore, and no one likes you.
I will agree with you full-heartedly on that one.
No, I can't understand, though. Okay, me, as someone who wants to start their own business, I can understand where it would come. Maybe like a pre-order thing with a clause.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's kind of hard. Like I see both sides of the fence as someone who wants to start my own company and get into video games and anime and all kinds of things, and as a consumer myself, it's like...
There are both sides to the coin, and unfortunately we're going to have to wind up leaving it at that. But hey, viewers, if you've got anything you want to say about it, please, by all means... head to our Facebook page at The Good Game Guys. Just look us up there. I already posted up the question earlier asking what do you, the fans, think about early access? We've had a few comments here and there. By all means, voice your opinion. Just go ahead and, you know, like us, follow us if you could, please, because we like you fans.
Exactly. Also, there'll probably be more shenanigans from the TKO and the Dr. Captain this Friday at 8 o'clock on the Easy Talk Live up in Hollywood, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Keep it moving.
Hopefully. Definitely on TKO's part. I don't know about my part.
Oh, you
just
stop being
happens.
Such a little girl.
And, guys, let's just take another moment here. It's that time again.
It is that time.
Okay.
So,
I'm Charles D. Watkins of HavanaWatches.com. HavanaWatches.com provides the highest quality for a great price. HavanaWatches.com offers a range of models, including chronographs, mechanical, silicone plastic, and in tungsten steel. HavanaWatches.com provides stylish features. Our top-to-bottom one-year warranty is one of the best in the industry. All of our models come to you in our custom-designed wooden gift boxes. We have both Swiss and internationally designed models. HavanaWatches.com has been creating high-quality watches since 2004. Our executive staff has over 18 years of watch experience. I myself was the past president of Whitnor Watches International. We are American-owned and operated. Our goal is to provide you with a watch you are proud to wear. We want to be your preferred watch brand in the United States. See our styles at HavanaWatches.com. Fine watches exclusively for you.
And we are back, and it looks like we have actually got a caller. Surprise, surprise. Give me one sec. Let me see if I can patch him in. You
sure.
Good?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a call. We got at least a few minutes left.
Sure.
Hello.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
It's me, Seawall.
Oh, hey, Seawall. What's up?
What up?
I was going to call earlier, but microphone stand decided to shit itself at the exact same time Skype shit itself for you guys.
Oh, wow. So I guess it actually wasn't just a local issue. So, hey, what's up? What you calling for, man?
I wanted to step in for the Star Trek debate when it comes to the science captains, because I play a science captain,
hey.
And I'm starting to branch out in other ships.
Okay.
Give us your knowledge.
Yeah, help me out. I've only been playing the game for a week.
And I have two tactical officers, an engineer, and my science officer is the noob of my crew.
Well, it really depends, because science, the thing I've been told about science is they're kind of the do whatever you want captains, almost. Because they're...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because I've seen science captains running engineering ships. I'm personally going for tactical ships now. But for the longest time, I've been running with the science vessels. I did try out that new science vessel, and...
Isn't it amazing?
I didn't like it.
What?
Whoa.
During the mission that I used it in, I had a lot of trouble with it. Died several times. It just didn't have the feel of the ships I was used to.
I felt like God in that ship.
Like yeah, I activated those special...
Like airbrushed a troll face on my shields.
Yeah, I was activating those things, and I did see a boost, but with how I run as a captain, it's just my style is a little bit different. I'm more of a run-and-gun science captain, less of a powers captain.
Oh,
okay.
Okay, then switch to attack mode. And like go ahead and just they're all over their face.
That's the problem I've got with attack mode though is your shields aren't as good in attack mode.
Yeah,
you don't have survivability in attack.
Well, as you guys know, they're gonna call it a cash store version.
I feel
of
you,
ship.
Seawall.
It's gonna have the metaphasic shield consoles and the other consoles, which means in attack mode you can still make yourself invulnerable for like a minute and 30 seconds.
Well, yeah,
you
when you want to go and spend $30 on a ship,
yeah.
I don't think that's. You know what this guy's saying.
I'm
actually considering going for the multi-vector attack ship because I'm one of those lifetime subs.
Oh.
I get 500 zen a month, so. Yeah.
Well,
nice.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm probably gonna get the multi. 2.5k in zen.
25.
Sorry, 2.5K Zen is what's needed, and I can't remember what the conversion to cash is. It's been a while.
$50.
Yeah, I'll give or take it.
Yeah, because 500 Zen is $5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like $25 for the ship.
That was not during a sale, people.
It's $2.99 now.
Yeah,
that was during the sale.
No, my friend, he got like, it was like $120 or something that my homie needed. It was like a stupid sale. But
either way.
But continue, Mr. Science Man, because I just now started to dabble in the science.
I played the game on and off since it started, and I only have one captain that's 50. I know. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was one of those things that I was playing with some friends. We all lost interest after the beta, and we just stopped playing.
Sorry yourself and your family.
Hey, how about you meet me in the Briar Patch, and I'll show you what my level 50 ship can do.
Ooh, sounds like he's got a challenge going on right now.
Damn, you just get called out?
You got called out.
We will do this, son.
You say hun?
I said son.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I got 3 level 50s. We will do this. Yeah. We will do this.
Yeah. Though I do not have a PvP setup, I'm a PvE captain. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, we may actually have to try and set up that battle pretty soon. Hey, Seawall, thanks again for calling up sometime. Maybe we'll try and hit you up on the show so you can kind of give us a little more insight on being a science officer.
Exactly, and you audience out there will be having that battle, and we will post it on our new upcoming channel that Dag is going to be setting up.
Yeah, we're going to get our YouTube started up here.
Exactly, and I think our first video will be the battle between Seawall and TKO.
Can I put $50 in myself losing because I'm not that good at PvP, unfortunately.
Oh, like that?
I'm sorry, Seawall, what was that?
Put $50 on me losing. I'm not the best at PvP. I've had the worst luck with it. I'm still trying to figure it all out, but hey.
Aww.
Oh, well, I thought we had ourselves a little fight going on here.
I'll still hang out, have some fun. I'm cool with recording it. I might get lucky. You never know.
Hey,
and
yeah,
hey,
that's
my
true.
My face, Polaron, got my name. They want to see what happens to your hole when they hit.
See, Wall, are you backing out after an epic call-out like that?
I know he did.
No, I'm not backing out. Oh, I'm just saying that might not be the most exciting battle. Yeah.
All right, folks.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think we'll take some time to convince Seawall here a little bit after the show to see if we can get this spike.
Yes, I already said yes, dude. I'm just putting money against myself because I don't have the best track record.
It is Science Vessel putting his knowledge to the test.
Pretty much.
Ooh, all right. Wind.
All right, Seawall. We'll catch you later. And pretty much we're going to go ahead and start wrapping things up a little bit, folks.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling, dude.
Thanks for calling, man. And
no
hey,
problem,
thank
man.
You, listeners, for tuning in tonight to the Good Game Guys. Don't forget to like, subscribe us over on Facebook, Twitter, or even make sure to bookmark the Easy Way Broadcasting website.
EasyWayBroadcasting.com.
Looks like we got another caller in the system, but we only got like 10 minutes left.
Whatever, let's do this. Inhale real deeply.
Hey, caller, prepare for like a minute here. Let's go.
Hello, caller, welcome to the Good Game Guys. What do you got to say? What's up? Where are you from? What do you want to say? Say the talk.
Hello, how's it going?
What's up?
This is Chris from West Virginia. Unfortunately, I had to miss the show because my internet sucks and my modem is pretty much trashed. By the way, Dr. Captain, this is Reese Kane. How's it going?
Oh, hey, Reese, what's up?
Not a whole lot. By the way, I think I know why Dr. Captain is kind of looking out there. He knows that he's weak because I beat him in the prior patch the other day.
Oh, this guy called. Whoa, don't be making up stories that you can't back up, sir.
Hang on. Dr. Captain was calling TKO out. That was another caller, Seawall, that was calling TKO out.
Yeah.
Dr. Captain had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, don't even be making stuff up that didn't even happen, son.
If you want a piece of the TKO, he's ready.
I meant to say Seawall.
Kapla!
Yeah, previous caller.
Chajush! Lazam! Jessica!
Look at this Klingon right here, man. You look at this guy. Look. You know, we don't have a camera right now, but we're going to try and take a picture and post this up on Facebook.
You ridgy, four-headed bastard.
Yeah, seriously.
Is a good day to
Reese,
die.
This guy
might
is
a quick one.
We got about 30 seconds left.
But we got a jet right now. So, folks, hey, thanks again for tuning in. Remember to like, subscribe, check out our Facebook, Twitter, at Good Game Guys, Good Game Guys 1 at Twitter. And remember to also...
EasyWayBroadcasting.com.
Remember to also check out our friends. Come on. And also our other friends, or the Games Are Us guys. Be looking forward to working with them a little more. Anyway, we'll be talking to you guys next week, folks.
GG, guys. Good game.
Good game.